Welcome to the Buff, where we just love the Yellow Submarine.
First, not last, it's not surpassed.
It used to be a newspaper.
The Buff Podcast, not outclassed. Wonders en masse.
Get it unleashed, everyone, up to the end of the game.
The Buff Podcast. There's the ins, there's the outs. There's the shake it, the shake it all about. There's the old and the new, the Wanderers legends on interview. First, not last, it's not surpassed.
It used to be a newspaper.
The Buff Podcast, not outclassed. Wanderers en masse.
Get it unleashed, everyone, up to the end of the game.
The Buff Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Buff Podcast. My name's Mark Isles. I'm the chief football writer of the Bolton News and... Oh, let me just break off for a minute. I've got to interrupt this podcast to bring some breaking news. The top stories this week on Twitter. Dwight Pezzarossi gets a new gig. Ian Marshall can't pick between the USPGA or Eurovision. And Jerry Taggart sells cars. Yes, this is a news podcast and we are totally committed to bringing you the very best and latest news on Bolton Wanderers, especially if it pertains to a former player doing something stupid on social media. Dwight Pezzarossi, our top story, once dubbed the Guatemalan David Beckham, has taken over as technical advisor of Santa Lucia Cotsumulguapa. I'm sure you're listening, Dwight. Here at The Buff, we salute you. Next story, Ian Marshall absolutely loves a moan on Twitter, but everyone's favourite striker-turned-defender had a TV quandary this week when he couldn't decide between Phil Mickelson and Graham Norton. Actually, even more breaking news just reaching us, everyone's favourite striker-turned-defender is actually Paul Warhurst. And finally, Jerry Taggart's Twitter account has seemingly been hacked, or at least given over to a car leasing company. The hardest nails Northern Irishman has broken character a couple of times to celebrate Leicester City's FA Cup wins, but otherwise he has been tweeting non-stop that we should buy an electric vehicle. And if Jerry Taggart tells you to buy a car, you buy a car. My co-host on today's podcast, Mr. Henry Hewitt, has bought three since Taggart started tweeting and has still got loads of room on his drive. How are you doing, mate?
I'm very good. The Wi-Fi may cut out because my electric is probably going to go at any point because I'm charging them all up. But no, I'm all good. It says a lot for pre-season. We were joking before the podcast how, you know, with these news of new contracts and stuff like that, it's just nice to be functioning as a normal football club. And an example of that is the fact that the breaking news is all about former players and not about current players or current situations. It's a good place to be in.
Absolutely. There's absolutely loads going on. We will come to some proper news eventually. Eventually, once we've stopped messing around. But no, I thought, you know, we strive to bring you the very latest here on The Buff. And that news was just breaking me. And my producer was just interrupting me as I started the intro. So I thought it was important we got it out there. And bring you guys right up to date. Would you like, Henry? We're going to spare the chit chat because there has been so many emails this week. I think we need to bring you a few. Do you want to hear a bit of correspondence?
Yeah, of course. It's what this show is built on, especially now we're in pre-season and there's nothing else to talk about.
Yes, words right out of my mouth. Last week we brought you the tale of a man, his tractor and a bikini-clad model. Suffice it to say, the mere mention of Sasa Cercic has churned up a couple of stories. And I've got to be honest with you, a couple of emails that there is no way on earth my solicitor would ever let me print or say in any way, shape or form. Even the ones that we've brought up here, I've actually had to edit. So I apologise if everything that you say hasn't actually made it in. This one, a couple of lines out of this one from Mike Longley sums it up. Hi guys, listened to you talking about Sasa Cercic last week and it reminded me of the day we met him at the Electric Chair Night in Manchester. Next line redacted. As you'd imagine, Sasa was in his element. I'll leave it to you to decide what that line might be about, but he was in his element, Sasa. Well, hurry up to. The highlight of the night was him jumping up on the stage where someone was trying to play a set and shouting loudly into the mic some sort of Serbian football chant, which his mates joined in. Bear in mind at the time, these were some of the best DJs from the UK and the US, and security wrestled him down quickly and probably out of the nightclub as well. Another couple of lines redacted where it goes into some detail about what else he'd been doing that night. But what a footballer, eh? He ends. So
he's a character, isn't he? And it's by the sounds of it, it's a shame that we only got 1 year out of him because, well, he's probably a good thing, actually.
Well, he might well have been serving a few more if that was if that was the way he was going on. You won't see the rest of that email. Good grief. One of these days we'll do a buff extra with an X, a triple X. Maybe these things will get out. This one's a good one from James Davis. I was about 11 when Bolton sold Sasa Sercic, but my mum had just bought me a shirt, which I'm pretty sure had his name on the back and his number. I'd had it like a week before he went to Aston Villa and I cried my eyes out. She went into the club shop to complain and the woman at the shop kindly said she would give me a new one. And which name would I like? My mum didn't know much about the team and I would have been at school at the time. So for the 1996-97 season, not sure about the date there, but anyway. So for that season, I might have been the only person at Burnden Park wearing a Chris Fairclough shirt.
That's a lot of money. You're getting your money's worth, aren't you?
She actually says that. He says, I think she thought she was getting a good deal on free lettering. Yeah. Can you imagine? That would be a very mum thing to do, to turn around, look at the longest name. Like, oh, Pierre van Hooydonk. That sounds like a good one. I think Jan Venegor of Hesseling. Anyway, I digress. Yes, a third email. We'll get back to Sasa in a minute. A third email. But this one's harking back to Nathan Blake, who we had on Buff Extra on Monday. He told a nice tale about Sasa as well. This one's from John Ward. Mark, just had to send a note of congratulations on your podcast with Nathan Blake. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Take a bow. You definitely got the best out of Nathan there. I've shared it with several friends and I'm sure you'll be getting more podcast subscribers. Great news, John. I do hope he gets back onto the after dinner speaking circuit. He really comes across as a genuine guy and had some great insights and stories. The pre-season story about the match at Carlisle brought back memories. It was hilarious at the time. The guy shouted just as the crowd were quieting and it didn't half carry. A regular listen to the podcast, best of the bunch. Best regards, John. That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it was a really good listen. You know what? It was nice hearing Nathan Blake talk so well about the club and so with fondness as well. So it was a good listen.
Yeah, he really is a top guy, Nathan. I could listen to him all day, but I think I could listen to him reading the phone book. It's one of them. His voice is just great. Really, yeah. Is fantastic. But if you've got a Sasa Sercic story, and we can, crucially, before you send it, think, will I get sued if this goes out on air? If you've got a Nathan Blake story, if you just want to send us some praise, I'm more than down with that. Here's how to get in touch. So you want to bring something up on the Buff? Email Mark and Henry on thebuffmail@gmail.com. That's thebuffmail, all one word, @gmail.com. And sorry to the mail escort who probably getting some unsolicited Bolton Wanderers correspondence from the people who spell that incorrectly. Let's have a word from our sponsor, Henry, because they're paying the bills, mate. Let's be honest. As you may be aware by now, we have a brand new sponsor here at the Buff. Henry, if you walked into the Carr's Bakery shop on Manchester Road, which, by the way, it's open from 7 p.m. Open till 7 p.m. Monday to Friday. I should add that. If you could have one pastry treat from that shop, what would it be?
Oh, it'd definitely be a meat and potato Carr's pasty.
That's pretty. I mean, it's route one. It's route one, but it's a classic. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to shock you with my answer.
Go on.
I'm going to go vegan sausage roll.
Really? Okay. I do like the vegan sausage rolls, actually.
They're lovely.
But yeah, I'm going to have to stick with a meat and potato Carr's pasty for mine.
Well, it doesn't matter what you want. Carr's pasties are available fresh from the oven, in store, click and collect, or for local and nationwide delivery as well. Go to carrspasties.co.uk. And they will sort you out. Right. Okay, somebody said news podcast. Henry, we've got some headlines. Bring me some headlines.
Well, we have. And good news for Wanderers this week. Two of the players have signed new contracts. First, Geffen Jones was announced. Were you surprised that it was a two-year deal?
A little bit, I have to say. We'd obviously been speaking to Geffen about his contract at the end of the season. He said that the trigger had been exercised in his contract. We knew he was going to get that extra year, but it looks like they've had like a post-season chat with Ian Evert. Ian Evert said, you know, you deserve the extra year. He obviously feels like he's got that extra growth in him as a player. And I think Geffen recognises that as well. So, yeah, bit of a surprise. But, I mean, do you think it's worth it? I mean, Geffen, one of last season's real solid customers, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. And it's difficult for me because we've got promoted. You don't know how, like, as we saw when we went from League One to the Championship, you know, a few players who were stalwarts in that team who played really well, then suddenly they go up that level and it doesn't quite work out for them. So it does worry me a little bit that with any player, you know, that we're giving them 2 years when you never know what could happen. And we know with Bolton fans that if using Geffen Jones as an example, not that I think he will, but if he has a poor start to the season next year, we're all going to get on his back and suddenly he's got another 18 months of that. But I think of what we've seen with Bolton and we'll probably see later this summer as well with a few of the players that were given two-year deals last year and it didn't quite work out. You know, I guess there's always room to move those players on if needs be. But no, you're right. He was one of our better players this year. He was Mr. Reliable. And I have no doubt that he'll do it in League One, but the pessimist in me just assumes that everything's going to go wrong at some point. So hopefully it won't, but you know, it's good. I guess a positive is that we are giving players two-year contracts. You know, for years it was the 1 years, and then next summer we've got to rip everything up and start again. So it's nice that they see that sort of progression and that long-term vision.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Lloyd Isgrove in a second, I'm sure. But I just think it offers you that level of stability. Because if you're a player, if you're consistently looking to the end of the season, then I don't know whether it necessarily means you work harder for that next deal or whether or not you feel like you can progress. I have felt for some time, really, with Bolton that it's been so transient that fans have had very little chance to actually get to know the players. You know, what was the last player that you could honestly say you really knew very well or could be a proper fan's favourite? There's not been many, has there?
No, not really. Probably, we're looking at a few of the like Politic and Brockbank, you know, he was there, and Darcy, you were there in the Coventry game. But before that, probably Lafondre.
Weetu was around for a fair while, I'd say. But, you know, obviously, you know, the end of all that, all ended up in difficult circumstances. All that whole generation of player will always be, I wouldn't say tarnished because that's a bit unfair, but there will always be that awful time once the club had gone up from League One into the Championship. And after that, everything that came after it was so difficult. I would say that hasn't been since prior to that. You're talking about your Zach Cloughs, as you say, Adam Lafondre's, that kind of era, and even before that, it was dreadful. So it's been a long time, and I think having that squad, having that core of squad now for Bolton, is great. It means you've got options everywhere. But then level up, make sure that you've got genuine competition, and you know, whether it be Geffen Jones, whether it be Lloyd Isgrove, that's fine. Go and sign another player that could instantly rival him for a place in the team.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of Lloyd Isgrove, he was the second new deal to be announced. He had a very strong second half of the season. I noticed in his interviews, you know, yourself and with the club, that he said that it was a sort of kind of a change of formation that helped him have a better second half of the season. Do you think next year we will see more of the Isgrove-Doyle linking up? I know Doyle said that he expects it to be slightly easier to have chances next year. Could we see that really blossom?
Yeah, I hope so. I don't think we see a massive amount of it. I know they actually did it felt at times like they passed between each other. They look for each other quite regularly on the pitch, but I don't think there was a lot of Isgrove to Doyle goal type of action. I don't think Bolton crossed the ball a lot. That to me is obviously not playing into what I would consider Owen Doyle's major strength is being first to a ball in the box. And I don't see too many crosses coming in for Bolton. I'd love to dig out the stats on that. Maybe someone out there will help me on that front. But I don't see Bolton being a particularly wide team that do too much in way of crossing. They play their way into the box. And I think Isgrove, like you say, with that when they moved to 4-2-3-1, that became easier for him. Before that, he was more like a wing-back. And it wasn't necessarily playing to his strengths. But I think when they moved to that new shape, he was able to come in off that right-hand side, work, you know, with the number 10, with Doyle, and get more involved. And also with Gethin as well was a big part of that coming down the right-hand side. So, I think he deserves a new deal. Again, probably going back to what you said about Gethin, two-year deal will raise some eyebrows, possibly, in the way that Bolton have acted before. But I think you've got there two players in Gethin Jones and Lloyd Isgrove that have got a promotion on the CV. So if 12 months down the line, you know, they're not in the team or you know, things haven't worked for them, anybody in League 2 is then going to look at those sort of players and be quite happy to either take them on or to loan them. And, you know, it doesn't just run, you know, you don't just get plunged into limbo after that because you've bought players that nobody else wanted. It's, you know, they've got, their stock is quite high as it stands.
Yeah, and I think as well, it seems like a really good team spirit that's there, yeah. And I'm sure them two add to that. So even, you know, having a core group of lads that were there, you know, for the promotion next year, it can only be a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. The spirit, for me, has really shone through in the last 5 or so months, because before Christmas, if I'm being honest, I would have said it was quite an unhappy camp. Now, a few of the lads have maybe put me straight on that and said, no, it wasn't quite that bad. Maybe I was making a bit too much of it, but it felt that way. I mean, results weren't coming. No team is ever happy when results aren't coming. But there was all that talk about not being able to socialise, not being able to bond the team. You know, the manager's talking about this, not me. So I felt there were not issues, but it was clearly an obstacle for them, the fact that they couldn't really be a proper football club at that point in time. But obviously, between Christmas, between January, getting a few different lads through the door, etc., that has changed. And I think that is probably weighing on Ian Evatt's mind when he's trying to keep that core together, because that really is worth its weight in gold, that team spirit. If you can keep that and keep that momentum that Isgrove talked about this morning, that momentum could be massive for Bolton, because it safeguards against that horrible slow start that they had last season.
Well, speaking of acting like a proper football club again, our pre-season mini tour of Northern England, I guess, has been announced. This must be the first time in years that it's been announced in May. It's normally we're patching some fixtures together at the start of July, but I guess the headlines are that Blackburn Rovers at home, hopefully we'll have fans back at the Uni Ball. Ian Evatt's going back to Barrow, and we've got Preston at Leyland as well.
Some fantastic games there, aren't there? I mean, certainly, and Longridge Town as well. Longridge Town on the 10th of July, that's where it's going to all start. Now, I think they'll have a training camp before then. That's what I'm hearing. That they will go, they'll get themselves together at the start of July, do what they did at Loughborough this year, or rather last year, and you know, do all the fitness testing and all the team bonding and all that kind of stuff, introduce the new signings. So by the time they get to Longridge, they'll be on a path as such to full fitness. So that's good news. But the Blackburn game's magnificent, isn't it? I mean, we're all looking forward to the day that fans could get back, maybe looking at the start of the season in August, but to bring a friendly of that sort of magnitude, I only hope that everything goes according to plan. Obviously, we know we're in this football bubble. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect us as badly as everybody else, but we know things aren't great at Bolton at the moment. Hopefully, fingers crossed, and in Blackburn, by the way, that things can settle down and we can have fans back in the building, that everything will work out. I know folk are working really hard to make that happen. But, I mean, I wonder what the pre-season friendly attendance record is at Bolton.
Yeah, it mustn't, because we never really do that well for pre-season matches, do we? Probably, no. I'm thinking maybe... I don't know, maybe that Yossi Yaskalainen testimonial against Hibs, was it? Maybe that or one of the testimonials that we've had, and maybe that could do it. But yeah, we've never really done that well, so I'm sure there'll be almost, if not a full house there.
Oh, a full house, that'd be wonderful.
To welcome the lads back. And yeah, but it'd be good. It's something to look forward to, and as you said, hopefully it can all get sorted and we can... you know, we can have fans in, and yeah, it just gives the fans something to really look forward to and really get excited about. And you know, even the away games, I'm sure if there's away fans, say at Barrow, for example, I'm sure we'll sell out our allocation. It's a lot to look forward to. I was going to say, credit to Ian Ebbett, because many managers would think, oh, I've got away with going back to my old club, you know, a season behind closed doors and then a promotion. But no, he's going to go back to Barrow and get a bit of stick, but that's credit to the man. But yeah, there's lots to look forward to.
I'll tell you what, going back to what you said right at the start there about the club getting their act together, this is genuinely the first time in a lot, maybe ever, but certainly going back 10 plus years, that I can think that they have given me a full list of even the Bolton X1 games by May. This is absolutely incredible, and I would like to say on behalf of the Isles household, thank you to Bolton Wanderers, because it means that I can actually plan a summer, a whole summer of whatever that, you know, when that doesn't conflict with friendlies. I have been in the situation, Henry, and I don't mind telling you now, but Bolton Wanderers went to Sweden or Denmark.
Right.
I can't remember where they were staying in Malmo. I got to the situation where a week before, they wouldn't confirm whether they were staying in Sweden or Denmark. Literally didn't know which country they were going to be staying in, let alone which game. I knew which games they were playing. So I had to Hail Mary and base myself in Copenhagen. It turned out they were staying in Malmo. Thankfully, there's like a bridge between the two cities. It is quite a trek, but you know, backwards and forwards every single day. Even when we went to Austria, they wouldn't confirm where the team hotel was. Whether or not they knew, I don't know. But either way, the team hotel, yeah, it was right up in the mountains, and I was like right down in, like, where's it? Graz I stayed in. Yes, I think it was Graz. I can't remember.
No one wants to walk up them mountains.
It's the bus ride that I had to go on, though. It was the hairiest bus ride I've ever been on. It was crazy. So like these like single-decker buses going round roads, like one in four hills at about 40 miles an hour, up and down. Oh my God, it was horrible. Brown pants all the way. Segway through that.
Moving swiftly on. You mentioned there the X1 games. Is that, are we going to see an indication of what the plans are for that next season with them?
Well, I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to press to find out exactly what is happening. I think the indications are that it's going to be an under-23s team, or an under-23s-esque team. Now, it all comes down to whether or not they have... whether they enter a league, effectively. Now, I have noticed there are a few, in fact, clubs that are upgrading to Category 1. So whether or not that does open up spaces, I don't know, in the pyramid. Whether or not the club want to get aboard that whole bandwagon as far as the elite player performance plan and, you know, all the boxes you've got to tick to be a Category 2 academy and all that kind of thing. I'm not suggesting that for a second, but in order to play in that league, I think you probably have to do that. So I would assume we're talking about friendlies and we're talking about an under-23s group for next season. If I had to guess at this point in time, that's what we're looking at. But I do think they intend to publish fixtures. It's great to see they've got a few games worked out there, because you'd expect that that group will be kind of fashioned and honed off the back of that. It'll be very interesting to see what the division of labour is and which players do feature in that team as opposed to the ones that are playing the first team friendlies, because they're not on the same nights. So, you know, I certainly intend to be every single one of them to see who's playing and how they're playing, etc. So, or at least my assistant will. So that would be nice. I have to say, I think they've got Bamber Bridge on a Wednesday night. That might be one. That might be a debut for whichever lad or girl walks through the door at the Bolton News this summer to help me with Wanderers.
Get you? Oh my! I might send my assistant to that match.
Delegation's what you need if you're going to be a record breaker.
Ryan Delaney's been talking about next season. He was one of the players that we were. Was kind of, I think with fans, they wouldn't have been surprised if we didn't offer a new contract. Mm. But then when you think about, we spoke about it last time, he's got League One experience. He's looking to get into the team ahead of probably Baptiste. I mean, he has got that League One experience. Can you see him doing it?
Well, I'd like to start by saying thank you to the Gory Guardian for that story. They did an interview with Ryan Delaney. Great. I now aspire to work at the Gory Guardian, by the way. That is a fantastic name for a newspaper. But yeah, I think Ryan Delaney is young enough to kind of warrant sticking around. He's obviously, as I say, got experience with AFC Wimbledon, with Rochdale and with Bolton in League One. And I don't think he did a lot wrong last season. There's been a fairly mixed reaction to what he said about getting back in the team and getting past Baptiste. But I think there has to be that second level of centre-half there. And I think Delaney is a decent shout. I would anticipate that they would try and sign another centre-half as well this summer. I'd be very surprised if they don't, because you're asking Baptiste at his age to go and do what he did last season. I think is a massive ask in League One. Massive ask, as great as he has been. Santos, great age, don't see any problem for him. You're asking Delaney to step in and maybe fill gaps. That's fine by me. Whether he can usurp Baptiste, I have my doubts personally, but I'm happy to be proved wrong on that. And then you've kind of got the Adam Seniors coming up and trying to prove themselves. You've got Rhys Greenwich, who I don't see really making their way in the team. So for me, it's a little bit of a weak area in terms of depth. I mean, would you happily see a centre-half? I mean, we're going to come on to signings later on, but do you think they need another defender?
Yeah, I think they do. I think there's probably arguments for majority of positions in the team. We either need cover or we need someone to come in. And yeah, centre-half is a position that I think we do need that cover on. Because, I mean, Baptiste has been great and Santos has been great. But again, it's that step up. You know, you don't know how these players are going to do. Mm. Baptiste is, what, 35, 36 now? So it only takes, you know, one bad game and then it can snowball. So yeah, I agree with you. Delaney is a good player to have ready. But I would also, yeah, I would like two of them. I would like another centre-back. And unfortunately, Greenwich looks like he won't be that. So, yeah, I think we do need to bring someone in.
I certainly know somebody who might have a clue on that front.
Yeah, you spoke to Chris Markham. It was over the weekend.
Yeah.
It came out. It really interesting to hear from him, actually. Two-part interview, was it in the end, three-part?
It was two-parter. I couldn't possibly have crammed that into one newspaper. It would be a supplement in itself, I think. But, yeah, I mean, Chris was really interesting. It was great to hear from him. We know the communication from Tobias Phoenix, who kind of had a similar role last year, was not great, or certainly the public communication was not great. So it is nice to have people come out and just explain, this is what, you know, my background is, this is what I do, this is what I'm planning. It's not a matter of accountability. It's just nice to have an idea of it. It stops any of the... It stops all the rumours, to be honest with you. It stops the social media crew from gossiping and speculating as to what motives might be if you're upfront and honest with people. And Chris definitely was with me when we had that interview. He was fantastic. Clearly got a good football pedigree in terms of working with five different managers at Huddersfield, part of the Wagner setup that got promotion to the Premier League. Then, of course, worked with the FA and did all that great work with the England 2018 World Cup squad. Not just the penalties, which people do talk about, but the identifying the pathways and the DNA type of thing that Gareth Southgate clearly has got when you look at his squad now compared to what, for example, Sam Allardyce had when he took the job. There's a completely different breed of player, isn't there, now? It's a much younger, much more technically adept type of player that they've been looking for. So that really is what Chris Markham's here for Bolton to do. He's there to bring in the kind of parameters that Ian Everett wants, and to have this as like the imprint for every Bolton player into the future. And it's not just going to be this season or this summer. It really is a long-term plan for him. And, you know, I wish him all the success in that. I hope that the one thing I will say, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, but it needs funding. It needs funding. If you're going to have this big idea thinking, then it doesn't come cheap. Brentford is the model that Bolton have kind of looked at quite closely. And anybody down there will tell you what that chairman down there has put in to make that happen. And they're on the precipice of the Premier League now. I hope they do go up, and I hope that model is proved to be successful. I really do. But it really requires investment. And I think that if they're going to do that, not only will they need Chris to be at the top of his game, Ian to be at the top of his game on identifying players, but you're also going to need to put hand in pocket, and hopefully that will happen going forward.
Yeah, I mean, a positive, you know, listening to you there and saying what Chris has done in his career, a real positive is that he's with us at Bolton, because I'm sure there would be a lot of takers further up the pyramid for someone with that experience, and to go, well, I was at Huddersfield as just before they got in the Premier League. I was with England when they got to the semi-finals of the World Cup. So it seems that we've got a bit of a diamond there.
Yeah, I hope there's a good buyout clause in his contract, definitely. I mean, this is the problem with a lot of this, is that when you get individuals who come in and do what this kind of work, you want to be sure that it's happening for the, and it is happening, by the way, at Bolton, but you want to be sure it's happening for the club, and that when they move on, you're not starting all over again. So I think what the idea is with Chris is that he is creating a department which will stay there, and if individuals move on, if managers move on, if players move on, it's always there. So that's the important thing. And it's the same with the sports science and the analysis, etc. You know, Bolton have ripped up so many plans. I mean, we all remember what happened when Big Sam walked out the door. Yeah. And Sammy Lee had to pick up those pieces. It was a total car crash, because the key, it's like Jenga. It just basically ripped out every supporting block and the whole thing fell down, because Sam knew exactly what he needed to take up in his next job. So that is what Bolton are trying to build now, is some sort of foundations that the kind of the to underpin any future success. And as I said before, it's not cheap. It is not cheap. They need to invest in that, and I'm sure they will. I'm sure they're not stupid, Football Ventures. They know what they're doing. So that's what I'm really interested to see now, how this develops, the structure underneath Ian Everett. It can't just be all about the first team. It has to be a real kind of big vision approach, really, at Bolton.
Yeah, well, as a fan, it's really exciting to hear. It's good. It's nice that we've got that, where we can look further into the future rather than just in the next 6 months or 12 months. It's nice to actually have that as a football club again.
So from looking into the future, let's go back to the past. A new investigation on Line of Duty. Line of Duty. Yes, we have had a listener send in a link to a story which has sent our buff detectives wild. There is a new case in town. And it's actually a story I vaguely remember at the time, but I think it definitely warrants further examination anyway. It's from Yahoo Sports on December 13th, 2010, 11 years ago or so. I'll read you the headline, Henry, and see what you make of it, okay? Voodoo okay. priest Owen Coyle planted things in pitch before Bolton win.
Wow, that seems like a... That seems like you've gone into a random generator of subject, name and story and just picked out random stuff there.
Yeah, very much so. It's like one of those things where you have to take the first letter of your name and then your birthday and then your first dog's name and then you come up with a headline. Yeah, voodoo priest Owen Coyle planted things in pitch before Bolton win. Now, the game in question was a 2-1 win against Blackburn, and everybody will remember it because it's the one where Big Sam was in charge of Blackburn. Bolton went down to 10 men. Stuart Oldham scored the winner. Great celebrations. Brilliant game. And Sky Sports were in town as well. The cameras apparently picked up Coyle, and I'll quote, burying something inside the ground with a spoon inside each goal. Now,
yeah, I vaguely remember that. Yeah, because I think I went to the match, but I watched it back, and I think they picked up on it as they came back from an advert break. And yeah, I'm glad you reminded me, because I did think at the time, I go, what? I know he's a bit of a superstitious guy, but I thought, what is he doing?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely remember having superstitions, absolutely loads of them. I mean, voodoo priest is a bit much, like, you know, unless all you've got to do to be a voodoo priest is just wear shorts all the time. That's it. I think it's a bit more in depth than that. No, I think Coyley was definitely superstitious. And I have a vague recollection, and people who are listening to this and nodding or shaking your head, please help me out here. But I'm sure he had like a lucky penny. Or he used to put a lucky penny in front of the goal, but he used to walk from one goal to the other goal religiously before a game, like straight line, post to post, and in like a rectangle, every single game. And I'm sure it had something to do with a lucky penny, but I may be misremembering that one. So if anybody out there does remember, please get in touch with the Buff. And try and fill us in with that one. But we will start digging. Our detectives are at work now, and we will get back to you on that front. Right, you will know that there are plenty of retain lists being announced. Bolton, we've already been through Bolton's. We've already analysed Bolton's to death, but me and Henry thought we might just have a delve into some of the other ones that have been thrown around the AFL for potential bargains. Now, the premise is this. We can both pick five players from any club. Money is no object, but I don't want to be daft and just go for any, you know, Premier League obvious ones. But and also injury is no doubt, because actually I don't know what injury state some of these players are in. So I think I've got to put that caveat there as well. But I've asked you to pick five, Henry. I've got five, so we'll trade them off. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on this one. Don't know about injuries. I've tried to have a quick look at how we did last year. I'll be honest with you, most of mine are based on knowing who they are, because there's a lot of players in League One and League Two who I don't have a clue who they are. With mine, I've tended to go more with... There's one or two from the Championship, but more League One kind of level. I've been a bit more realistic in mine, thinking... okay, as great as it would be to get, I don't know, the likes of Alex Mowat from Barnsley and stuff, I don't think they're going to come down to League One. But I looked at... when you look at League One, for example, you automatically will look at Sunderland and Portsmouth. But then you think, well, those players have bottled quite a few things in the last few years. So, are they perfect for us? We've kind of built a team this year on players who are sort of League Two level or back end of League One, who are just thankful for being at Bolton Wanderers. So do you want to continue that, or now are you going to try and change the ethos a bit and get players from the Championship who are coming down who perhaps aren't thinking, wow, I'm playing for Bolton Wanderers, but want to get back in the Championship? So I've gone with my first one. And I think this is just because of the goalkeeping situation. I've gone for Kieran Westwood from Sheffield Wednesday.
Good choice. Good choice. I very nearly did myself. He's a bit of a legend at Sheffield Wednesday. I think he's been there a fair while, hasn't he?
Mm.
But he's that's a good choice.
Yeah, just like Kieran Lee was.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kieran Lee, the silent assassin, might well put in a good word. It's just occurred to me, I haven't put any goalkeepers in, and yet that's possibly the one that I'm most sure that Bolton are trying to recruit. But anyway, let's move past that. My first choice is an ex-United player, so I'll forgive him for that, for starters. He played at Swindon Town, so I'll forgive him for that as well. He didn't play that many games, but I think he had an injury, or he's got an injury. I'm hoping he's fully fit, but a very decent left-back on his day. Zeke Friars, his name is. Played at Peterborough as well. Good, yeah. Very good player on his day. Now, again, not sure about fitness history, but I think left-back as an option, we know we want Declan John, we all want Declan John back, but if there was another option out there, I think Zeke Friars would be a decent shout. Your turn.
Yeah, I agree with that. My next one's actually left-back as well. Mine's looking more, if we don't get Declan John, I've gone for Amari Bell at Blackburn.
Oh, bugger, that was one of mine as well.
So, yeah, okay, I'll take that one from you. So I go Amari Bell at Blackburn.
Yeah, I had about Amari Bell on my list as well, so I'll have to think of on my feet to try and get another one. But I'm going to go for Emir Hughes, who was at Wigan and was at Ipswich. He's been released by Ipswich. My theory on this is decent centre-half. I think he can play midfield as well, like MJ. Also, we're literally one Welshman off a full choir.
Yes.
So it's my hope that by Christmas we can have just Bolton Wanderers players doing the full Christmas choir thing. So that would be nice.
Yeah, that'll do. When they're doing the advent calendars on social media, that'll certainly give us a day. Give the media team a day.
Yeah, I would love just one more Welshman. That's all I need. And anyway, having spoken to Nathan Blake this week, I mean, I'm down with it completely. I understand the whole Welsh thing now. So go on, your turn. You have a crack.
I'm going to go with... Now, this player reminds me of Ali Crawford, but maybe at a better standard. I don't know whether we'd get him because he's been at the top end of the Championship for a while now, so wages could be a thing. But I've gone with Alex Pritchard, who is at Huddersfield.
Oh, good player. Yeah, like him. Like him. I can understand that one. On a midfield tip, now I'm not sure because the kind of the two midfield, the holding midfielders did so well last season, I'm not sure you necessarily need to change that. But if you were looking to strengthen that, I think Sam Finlay would be a good shout. He used to play at Accrington Stanley, being released by Fleetwood, by the way. It's fair to say he's had a couple of issues, a couple of headlines, but I would much rather have him on my team than against it. He is the proverbial bleep house. And we haven't had one since, what was his name? The lad from Everton on loan in the Championship, whose name
was
Williams. A real, and MJ's pretty good as well. Another Williams. Must be something about Williams. Yeah. But Sam Finlay, yeah, I'd like to see him. I did think he's a decent player. I think he's about 28 now.
We're getting into the stage now where I'm basically going off people I've heard of. I noticed that Danny Meyer was available from Plymouth.
Ooh.
And he's 30, and I know he did very well for Bury, you know, kind of at League One, League Two level. So whether he'd want to come back up to Lancashire, I'm not sure. But yeah, I'd probably give Danny Meyer a go.
Danny Mayer's a cracking shout. Actually, if I'd have seen Danny Meyer, I probably would have put him on my list. But I've gone with Josh Morris from Fleetwood. Josh Morris, now, you might remember him from when Bolton were in League One under Parkey and got promotion. He was playing for Bradford and he was like the bomber that season. He was fantastic. Set pieces,
yeah,
excellent set pieces, like proper specialist. He's dropped off since then a little bit, but he's certainly a good age still. I think he'd be a cracking signing. And set pieces are, as anybody that listens to this podcast knows, a massive bugbear of mine. he would be one to fix that for me.
And last on my list, this is, I scanned down it and picked out a name, and I could have played it safe and chose Andy Cannon from Portsmouth, who I think we've been linked with anyway.
Not true, by the way.
He's on there. Is it not true? Oh, I might stick him in then. I've probably looked at like a striker, so I've just gone with Kieran Agard from MK Dons. I know who he is. Yeah, I know he's because I know who he is. He's probably scored goals before, and he's available. So I've gone with him.
If you've gone for the Arthur Ganua style recruitment here, I know who he is. Basically, I'm signing him because I know who he is. I like that. That's a good one. I'm going with something slightly more left field because I've just been scrolling down. Amadou Bakayoko, just released by Coventry. I do remember been playing against Bolton and thinking he was quite handy. Very quick. I think he has scored goals at League One level. Not necessarily this season for Coventry. I'm not sure he's been as involved this season, but certainly definitely need another striker, don't we? Sean Miller's gone now, so you're basically looking at Owen Doyle and, you know, Delfonso, if indeed Delfonso would be playing up top on his own. But you definitely need strengthening there. And Bakayoko, real pace up front. Haven't had too much of that in recent years at Bolton. And it would be a different option for me. So I'd be happy with that. You have to let us know what you think of our thoughts, listeners.
Yeah, I noticed that none of us have chosen any former Wanderers players. It seems to be a big debate on social media at the moment, especially since that Clough got released by Wigan, well, about bringing old players back. What do you think about that?
I mean, I did a story this morning that basically just... I'd gone through all these retain lists, partly for research on this thing for the Buff, really. But I put out a whole list of everybody yesterday. And as I was doing it, Wigan released theirs. And Zach Clough's name obviously did stand out to me immediately. So did Alex Perry's, by the way, because I just, I forgot he was still there at Wigan. So I thought, I think I'll do a story that just shows how many ex-Wanderers are being released this summer. Partly because I know it always helps to keep players' names out there anyway. So it does me no harm whatsoever doing that sort of story. It's nice. It's a nice kind of reminder for like people. But it has been interpreted in some quarters as a call to arms to sign loads of ex-players. And I don't think that was certainly not the intention. With Zach, it will never go away, will it? Because I think we always felt at Bolton that we never saw him at his peak. He was always the kid who always had a bright future. And when he went to Forest, that was kind of taken away from us. And that peak never came, did it? I mean, he obviously struggled at Forest. It's gone downhill. He got completely marooned there. And now he finds himself, hopefully, with a fresh start. I think he did all right at Wigan by all accounts last season. It's a different club now than the one that he went into. But I think he's probably done enough there to substantiate somebody else coming in and thinking they can get him. But it's just all about finding the right environment for him, finding the right position for him. And then I'm sure the talent is still there. He's just got to want it. He's just got to find the right sort of place for himself. I mean, it'd be such a crying shame, wouldn't it, that if that career doesn't escalate some more, at least.
Yeah, I agree. It's such a shame because I remember, in the Championship when he first came on the scene. You know, I think he scored six. Like, he seems to score every home game. You know, the free kick against Wolves, and then that goal against Brighton, and we were so excited. And then in League One, I think League One was probably his best period, that first half of the season, because I think he ended up our joint top goal scorer.
I think he had 11 goals. Yeah.
So it's not quite worked out for him. I think his time at Bolton has passed. Personally, unless he does find that club, scores 20 goals next year, then maybe. But I think he'll probably need to go to League Two now, and he just needs, like you said, he needs the environment. He needs a good pre-season, and there's teams out there that'll get him. But I think I find it funny with Bolton fans when they some people are clamouring for these former players to come back, and we all have this sort of nostalgic feel towards former players. I don't know whether it's because when I was, a kid and teenager, we had the likes of a Kotcher and Jorkaeff and Campo, but I then look at people wanting the likes of Clough and Wieter back. I think that was the worst period I've ever seen us, so why would we want any of them players back? But it's funny, but no, I think that, yeah, the time's passed for all of that, and you need to move on and you need to have build new memories with new players, and I think it'd be a shame if we saw any of them come back just for the sake of it.
Well, as somebody who opened this podcast with a bit about Dwight Pazzarossi, I'd like to say that nostalgia is, there's no problem with nostalgia. Nostalgia's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, but I wouldn't want him playing. I wouldn't want him playing next season for us.
Dwight, he's on to us. No. How about, here's another one as well. Actually, I read this morning, Sami Amiobi might be on the market. What about him?
I always liked Amiobi. I think, I think when he was our best player, in my opinion, when he was on it. I mean, there were a few games when he wasn't, but. I thought he was. Would I have him back? Possibly not.
I just think linguistically, the words Sami Amiobi are just so pleasurable to say. They're just good. Just Sami Amiobi. It's just. It's a bit like if you've ever typed Steve McManaman. It's so cathartic. It's great.
Yeah, I'm looking at the keyboard now, and yeah, it is.
I urge anybody to do it. If you ever want to just bash a keyboard, write Steve McManaman, and it's great. It's fantastic. or bash Steve McManaman. I'm not necessarily advocating that, but I haven't forgot about 1995.
No.
Okay, just enough time to remind you that you can subscribe to the Bolton News online for £2 for 2 months and clear away all those pesky pop-up ads. No more non-league football just popping up in the corner of the screen for no apparent reason. No more coffee ads, all the other things that annoy me as well as you. But they also pay my wages, so perhaps I'm talking myself out of something there. Get exclusive Wanderers content. That's the point I'm trying to make. Is that in the coming months, there are going to be exclusive Wanderers stories that only subscribers will be able to get access to. So go to theboltonnews.co.uk/subscribe for more details. You get loads of other stuff as well, so it's well worth doing. Also, we mentioned it at the very, very top. We'll mention it again every Monday. Buff Extra, available wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can listen to it through the Bolton News website. We've got some really great guests coming up. Had Nathan Blake on last Monday talking about all sorts of stuff, including Wales at the Euros. He'll be commentating this summer, so I effectively am claiming him in the name of Bolton. Bolton have got somebody at the Euros. It's Nathan Blake. This week, by the way, Stuart Storer. Lovely stuff. Oh. Stuart Storer, as quick-witted as he was, quick-footed or whatever. I really enjoyed chatting to him. I chatted to him ages ago as well, and I'm going to have to probably go through and make sure he makes no more references to like Bolton being in the bottom half of the table or whatever. It was one of the first interviews I did when I started collecting them for when we were redoing the Buff Extra stuff in the summer. So, really good stuff with him, talking about all his Burnden days. And, I mean, imagine this. There was a time where the Football League asked all the clubs to present their fastest player who would have a race, like regional races, to have a final before a big Wembley final. I think it was like the Zenith Data Cup or something like that. So the fastest players in the whole of the country had a race down the touchline. Can you imagine that happening today?
Wow. On Wembley Stadium.
Literally on the pitch at Wembley before a game. And you had, it's on YouTube if you really want to have a gander at it, but like there's some regional heats that are on YouTube, but the actual final itself, and Stuart tells the story about how he got to that final, and well, I won't spoil it, but it's great. That's all we've got time for this week, other than to say, I have been Mark Isles.
And I have been Henry Hewitt.
This has been The Buff. See you soon, Craig Noon.